Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wonder Podcast, the podcast where we break down and review films all in one big, long, unbroken take. I'm Austin Archer, and with me, as always, is my childhood next-door neighbor and lifelong best friend,
Kramer England.
I have no mustache.
You don't. I do have a question, though.
Yeah, what's that?
Do you bleed?
You will.
You will.
Tell me.
You know, like,
I contemplated finding like a voice changer and like doing that, but
I will say this. Listen, like, we're talking today about the first two movies in the now dead Zack Snyder verse of the DCEU. Yeah. Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. We watched both of those movies. And rather than doing a full plot breakdown on them, we're just going to kind of talk about things we like, things we don't of each movie. But I will say this right out of the gate is like, I like one of the things I like in both movies is I kind of like the mythic approach to the writing, that they sort of treat it like Greek mythology, like the gods fighting each other. I like a lot of the imagery. I like the shot the first time that Batman and Superman stand in front of each other in that scene.
Yeah,
but especially in BVS, some of the lines sometimes it's like when you're in that genre, when you're in like fantasy world or mythic kind of world, the line between like kind of bad and cool is you got to kind of live on the razor's edge of that, and they step over the line quite
too often.
And that's one of those lines where I'm just like, it's like, especially in Batman vs. Superman, it feels like Batman vs. Superman, every line is like trying to be so clever. Every line is trying to be so.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's like Zack Snyder does this a lot. He tries to be very, very cool and very, very, you know, I mean, if Zack Snyder is good at anything, it's definitely imagery. He's very good at creating images. He has these amazing images of Batman and Superman standing in front of, you know, facing off, just like you talked about. But if, you know, his dialogue, I mean, because he has a lot of influence on the dialogue, right? Like David Goyer is a good writer, but he can, Zack Snyder can tell him to change some stuff. And he has some pretty dumb lines in this.
Yeah, like the granny's peach tea, you know, call it bucket of piss, granny's peach tea. It's like everything's just trying to be like so clever. There was one that I noticed last night that I'd never heard before, and it's at the end when Lex Luthor says, like, he's like, the fabrics of society wane, manners fall. And it's like a wordplay where he's like, the fabrics are waning, they wane, and manners, like homes or you know, like, or like manners, like polite manners fall. Yeah. And so he says, Wayne, manners fall. And it's like Wayne Manor.
Wayne Manor. Ooh. Yeah.
And I'm just like, and it's like this way of Lex to like doing wordplay to let Batman know that he knows who he is. But I'm like, he's not the Riddler.
that's a line
the Riddler would say, you know?
It is. And that's, I feel like that is the theme of these two movies, much more in Batman versus Superman than Man of Steel, but everything is just a little too much.
Yeah.
So Batman versus Superman is just too much, but in Man of Steel, it's just a little too much. They just go a little too far.
Yep.
And it's just to its detriment.
Yeah. So let's start with that one. What we wanted to do is just kind of talk about what we like and what we don't like about each movie. Maybe see if we can kind of get like a forensic analysis of like what went wrong here, or like, did it go wrong? Like, what, like, could it have been something better and something really cool? You know, like, was there promise here that, like, you know, I think that, like, in hindsight, I do think that it did go wrong. I think that, I think Man of Steel was a place where you could have potentially built something interesting.
Yeah.
And I still feel like revisiting Batman vs. Superman, even though I do think the Ultimate Edition, which is the one we watched, is better than the theatrical edition. It's still just like, it's like the world building is just so messy. It's just, they're trying to do so much and they're not platforming any of it in a particularly like, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we will.
So Man of Steel, what do you like about this movie?
Oh man, there's a lot to like about this movie. There's a lot of really good things about it. I feel like it is paced very well.
Yeah.
There is not much slow motion in this movie. There's like two or three shots.
You brought this up last week and I'd never thought of it before, but Man of Steel feels so much more like a movie influenced by Christopher Nolan. Absolutely. And Batman vs. Superman is like, we're fully in Snyder world.
It's like watching two completely different movies it's like watching two movies directed by two completely different people.
Yeah.
Like the first one feels very influenced by Christopher Nolan. Like you said, the second one is full Zack Snyder. I mean, the first one feels more like Batman Begins. The second one feels way more like Watchmen.
The thing that's similar to me in both movies is the color grading. Yes. And that's something that's like very specific about these Zack Snyder movies is they have a very like gray palette, like a, you know, kind of muted palette. And the color grading in the cinematography is similar in both films. But
they are.
But it's just Zack Snyder is really doing his Zack Snyder thing in Batman vs. Superman so much more than I mean, there's a few shots in Man of Steel that are still like, because Zack Snyder, it's one of my favorite things about both of these movies is there will just be an image that's like one of my favorite images I've ever seen in a comic book movie, like from time to time while watching these. They're just, so we're talking Man of Steel, when Henry Cavill first walks out of the Kryptonian ship wearing the suit, the way that he, like his silhouette in that cape and then like the shot behind him and the, you know, his feet walking on the snow and the red against the just like, it's gorgeous. Like it's just
looks beautiful. And here, this is the thing that I do like about both of these movies. I am a big fan of his color grading. I actually prefer his color grade to James Gunn's. James Gunn's feels, and I still like James Gunn's feels more like a soap opera, like TV. Mm-hmm. It's just lit a little more evenly. It's a little bit more bright, and it just is. I don't prefer it as much. Zack Snyder's way of color grading, I actually really, really like. Now it's his colors. They are muted, but I mean his suit is very bright. Like his suit is very saturated. It's very. It's a dark blue.
Yeah.
But like, but that's just a preference that I have. And it doesn't make the movie.
The red still really stands out.
Yes. Yeah. Like I love how it pops in Zack Snyder's. But that doesn't make the movie better or worse for both of them. It's just a preference that I have. I actually really like how he color grades his movies.
That's a really hot take because a lot of people like their biggest issue with Man of Steel is the color grading is they're just like, that's not Superman. And I will say that like, I get what you're saying that it's like, to me, these films are prettier in a sense.
They are.
They have shots that are prettier. Like they have, you know, these moments that are just sort of like really stunning and really striking. And maybe James Gunn doesn't hit those moments, but also I'm like, there's some shots in Gunn's movie, like after he catches
that building amazing.
And him like coming through the dust and stuff. Like he's got some really, really great images.
Oh, and I would say that shooting the eyes, it looks amazing.
I would say that his movie just is color graded to feel more like a cartoon. It's color graded to feel more like a comic book. It has the, you know, I get you that it's like, well, we're in the medium of cinema. So let's I think ultimately for me, the thing about these Snyder movies is they're interesting takes on these very well-known characters.
Yeah.
But they're takes on the characters. They're not actually like faithful adaptations. It's sort of like an Elseworld take, the same way that Todd Phillips' Joker is an Elseworld take. The same way that very much so Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy is like a different take on the character than what you find in the comic books and it's its own thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like these movies are, it's that like, it's not, it's like Henry Cavill's version of Superman in this Zack Snyder world and this David Goyer, Christopher Nolan inspired world is a new vision of the character. Whereas James Gunn is like, it's a much more traditionalist, like this is Superman. This is the Superman of the comics, the Superman of the Saturday morning cartoons, and I think that there's things to enjoy about both. Like as a lifelong fan, it's fun to see new takes from time to time. you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think you're totally right. The biggest thing, one of the biggest problems I have with Zack Snyder, though, is it is Zack Snyder's take. Like you're saying, it is a take on it, but it is Zack Snyder's take on it. And he doesn't, a lot of people are like, oh, he doesn't understand the character. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think he understands the character. I think he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
I think he's just trying to do what he wants to do, which, you know, you got to respect it in some ways, but also like, dude, you're not doing what makes this character the character. Like a lot of people say about Man of Steel and the Dark and Batman versus Superman that, it's too dark. Like, oh, it's just too dark. And I don't think that's necessarily true, especially with Man of Steel. I don't think Man of Steel is too dark. I think it's just too serious. And I mean, yeah. I guess they could kind of be interchanged. Like
you could think of those as synonyms, but I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just that Superman doesn't have any fun. Like Superman's not happy. He's not very like, you know, like he doesn't have any personality. He's just too serious. And I think if you could have made the character have a little more personality, be a little more hopeful, it would have pleased a lot more people. But I think it's just Zack Snyder saying, no, that's what I want to do. And that's what he did with Batman and Batman v Superman. He made him kill people. He knows that I've seen interviews with him. He knows that Batman doesn't kill people. And he's like, well, if you tell me I can't kill people, I want to kill people. I want Batman to kill people. And right. So it's like,
he wants to break the rules. He wants to push push the boundaries of what people think the character can or can't do or should or shouldn't do. And again, I think that that's interesting. Like there's a place for that. And, and again, like the color grading thing, it's like one of the things that I really like about Man of Steel, going back to Man, is just like, I like design. I like the production design. Like I like this new vision of Krypton. I like the Krypton it feels like they, you know, there's the Richard Donner movie and that vision of Krypton of like this all white kind of crystallized planet that's been seen in lots of different iterations of Superman. And they just said, let's do a page one rewrite. Like, let's just completely remake Krypton and say we can start from wherever we want to start from. Like, let's just say that like the rules are not written. Like the only thing we know for sure is that somehow that suit that he wears is going to come out of that culture. So like the Superman suit, like that's the one thing that's going to come out of that, but everything else is like up for grabs. And I love all of it. Like, I just feel like it's such a like rich world that they build, and you're immediately immersed in it. And it's like, you can see that like that people wear their house crest on their shirt and the way that it's like designed into the fabric and stuff. It feels alien in a really cool, original way. The tech is really cool and interesting. And
that's the thing that I really like as well. There feels like a lot of history and a lot of backstory that could be explored specifically on Krypton. Yeah. And I love that texture that it has and that it's the whole implication of history, you know, and like they chose who gets born into what, right? And that actually kind of played a theme throughout the whole movie, is this choice, right? People were born on Krypton and they didn't have a choice, and Superman has to make a choice. Does he want to become Superman? Does he not, right? That was actually a really cool theme throughout the whole movie. So I loved that they started that on Krypton and that it influenced him in the rest of the movie. So I really like the opening of the movie for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like to me, Man of Steel is a movie about Clark Kent discovering Superman.
Yes.
Like it's a movie about like Clark Kent finding out what he's really capable of and what he can really do and what, you know, cause his whole life, he's sort of been held back from being able to fully explore his identity and explore who he is. And the whole movie is about him kind of stepping into his truth as like who he is as Superman, which is also a problem for me in Batman vs Superman, because it just still feels like in that movie he's just still like ambivalent about his identity, and I just don't think he should be. I think he should be more comfortable in it's been 18 months. Like he should be more you know, like, which I like when we find where we find David Corn Sweat's character, which is like, he's been Superman for 3 years and he feels comfortable about being Superman. And he like, you know, he walks comfortably in both the life of Clark Kent and Superman. But like Man of Steel is like watching this man throughout the entire film, like figure out what just who exactly he is.
Yeah.
And he kind of surprises himself, I think, you know? Mm-hmm. It's interesting because one of the criticisms that a lot of people will levy toward James Gunn's Superman is that they're like, I don't like that we're dropped right in the middle of things. I want to know a little more backstory. But like this Man of Steel movie, it's like, you could say the same thing. You could be like, geez, you drop us into the middle of the end of Krypton and there's so much going on. Like there's this council that Jor-El is talking with, and there's this civil war that's led by General Zod, and there's these like creatures that Jor-El has a relationship with, like robots and the, you know, there's like so much going on. But I like that. I just like that it's like, hey, there's a whole history of these people that exist here. And the story begins at the end of these people's
work. Existence. Yeah. I think honestly, it is a really cool opening there. It doesn't like overall Man of Steel. I really like, I think a lot of changes that could happen, you could make it better, but I think overall it's a pretty good movie. Like, there are things that could have made it great. I don't think it's great, but there's a lot of things that work really, really well in this movie. It starts off really well. Also, I got to say, I really like Russell Crowe. I think he was amazing choice.
I was going to say that's one of my favorite. I mean, again, like a thing that I can commend up and down but kind of both these movies is the casting. Like they really cast these movies well. Jesse
Eisenberg, but
I don't have as big of a problem with Jesse Eisenberg as most people do. But I think that like Ben Affleck is very well cast. I think Gal Gadot is really well cast. Yes. I think that Amy Adams is very well cast. I think Kevin Costner and Diane Lane are very well cast. It's a very different vision of Ma and Pa Kent than we get in like again, I always call them like hot Ma and Pa Kent. They're like the hot version. It's like everyone in Zack Snyder movies is hot. Like everyone's just like, you know, like very, very good looking. You know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is like Batman's dad, and like everyone's just like very like handsome and
good looking.
But I think that like Michael Shannon is fantastic, and
love Michael Shannon,
Lawrence Fishburne, and you know, like the actors that they have in this thing. I like Christopher Maloney in Man of Steel as the Colonel. You know,
that's a good little subplot.
Yeah, I like that guy, kind of like that his whole thing is that he's just like not afraid of anybody, even though he can see that they're so much more powerful than him, and that he's sort of the and I you know, I like I like the music. I like
I Hans love Zimmer. The music.
I like the music in both movies. I think Hans Zimmer is like bringing really good stuff. I like what XL brings to the second one as well. I think that that's like something that they really lost when they decided to bring Joss Whedon on for the reshoots of Justice League, and then they had Danny Elfman come in and replace Hans Zimmer. I was like, that's a big mistake. That's like that was not a problem with these movies, like Hans Zimmer's music, but maybe they thought that his music was just like too serious, kind of like you were saying, like it's a very serious score, you know
it is. I think talking about the music specifically, the music for Wonder Woman, one of the coolest scores and one of the coolest themes. For like, that's up there with Superman. I don't know if I would say it's as good, but I mean, it's as, I think it will be as iconic for her specifically as a character. I think they'll probably keep using that score because it's so good. Like, I played it for my kids and they were like, oh, this is so good. And I was like, it's awesome.
Anyways, I mean, I would say Man of Steel, again, and both of these movies are kind of similar this way. It gets off to a really strong start. Like we have like the opening on Krypton is great. I love that, like you said, the pacing, that we go straight from him as a baby in the thing to him as an adult man searching for, you know, and I like that we deal with his childhood in Smallville in flashbacks, and that we're sort of like that whole first act. I love the way that we're continuing to push through the story of Clark as an adult while just doing flashbacks of like, I love the scene of him saving the kids on the bus as a teenager. I even people get mad about this online when he crumples the guy's truck when he's working at the restaurant. This is a take on the character, and it's not the traditional Superman that we're all used to. And I kind of like that this Clark Kent is like, I know well enough, like my dad raised me well enough to not fight a guy like this. Like I could, I would kill this guy if I fought him, but I don't owe this guy not destroying his truck. I don't owe him that. Like what I like about this character is, and this is a theme throughout the entire movie, is like that he's got a lot of anger. Like I like that when they show him as a teenager and he gets in a fight with that kid and he doesn't hit the kid, and he talks to his dad and he's like, I really wanted to hit him. And his dad's like, I know. He's like, but then what? You know?
Yeah.
And he's like trying to, you know, like that conversation, but also that we see that in Clark is this thing where he's like, my whole life I've, like there's a cartoon where Superman is fighting Darkseid and he has this monologue where he's like, I'm so excited that you're here. You have no idea. He's like, my whole life, he's like, everything I touch feels like cardboard. And he's like, but you know, with you, he's like, you could take it if I hit you as hard as I can, can't you? And he's like, so let's see. And he's like, I'm so excited that I actually get to like hit someone as, you know, and I think you see that like in this movie, the first time that Superman hits somebody is when Zod is threatening Diane Lane.
And he
flies in and grabs him and starts punching him in the face. And it's like, you feel this like release from that character where he's like, this is the first time in my life that I've ever like even used a quarter of my strength.
Right.
Doing anything, you know?
Yeah.
And there's like this pent up lifetime of like, like, you know, and again, a lot of people would say like, that's not the character. That's not, but I think again, this is a take on. I think it shows Man of Steel shows the struggle more of like the restraint that Clark has to show. And you know,
and I really do like the kind of going into that. I really do like the relationship that Kevin Costner and Henry Cavill have.
Yeah.
I do think it's a little, I do, as we said at the beginning, I do think it's a little too much. Like when he says like, well, maybe you should have let the kids die. You know, he's like, what should I have done? Should I let him die? And he says, maybe. I'm like, okay, that's a little too much. But I do like this thought of Jonathan Kent being like, you need to hide yourself because people are not ready right now. I like this thing of him protecting his son. Like you have to, but I wish it was more of, listen, you always have to do the right thing, but you can never be seen right now. Obviously saying in a much better way than that, but he's a little bit more like, you got to hide yourself. We can't, you know, because he's being protective. He doesn't want his son taken away.
Well, this is like where some of the writing really hits. Like when he talks about how he's like, when people find out who you are, it's going to change everything.
Yes.
It's going to change our entire notion of what it means to be human. It's going to change. I like the way that David Goyer writes some of the, like, that he describes what John Kent's trying to communicate to his son, that it's like, you don't understand. Like when you do show everybody who you are, it's going to fundamentally change. Our entire society. And this is one of the things that I really like in both of these movies. I love the philosophical exploration of what a character like Superman means to the collective human psyche. And again, another thing in this movie that I like is because we've established Krypton as being so alien and so different, I love the like alien invasion aspect of this movie when Zod and his, when they show up and it feels like the movie switches genres into like a almost like a horror movie about like, like an Independence Day or Signs or War of the Worlds. Like, and it feels like that. It feels like a really ominous alien invasion. I think that's really cool. I think that's really fun.
I do. I like that too. I actually really like all the action that happens with that too, because I mean, really cool action. And Superman really does get to kind of like unload his powers because he's going against other Kryptonians. Which makes it really cool that he can go after, you know, these other people. So I think it's really cool. Now, having said that, the action is great, but again, it's too much. The end is just too, like, the destruction of Metropolis is just too, like, there's too many people that died.
It just goes on for way too long. And then I, so like, much. I get, like, that it's a good catalyst for Batman's entire motivation in the next movie.
Yeah.
And it really is good, but that's also the problem with Batman for Superman is it's like we keep layering on motivation for him. And I'm like, I think he's got plenty. I think he doesn't need more. Like we've got enough, and it's just the movies are doing too much, because to me, like the end of the beginning of the third act, or maybe it's the, you know, like the end of the second act, I don't know, of Man of Steel is one of my favorite moments in any Superman movie or superhero movie ever. And it's when Superman destroys the world engine, like when he gets thrown into the gravity beam and he's like being pushed into the earth. And again, the whole movie's about him discovering like what are the limits of his strength, like how strong is he? Like we start out with him like, you know, like the one, like right off the bat, we see him like saving people in this oil rig that's on fire. And he's, it's still like kind of clear at that moment that he's not sure how strong he is. And then when he meets his dad, Russell Crowe, and his dad tells him like, the only way to know, like, there's no way for us to know how strong you are. You've just got to test your limits. And we watch him like figure out how to fly. That's a great sequence where we see him like using his strength to like figure out like, oh, like it's a matter of strength that I can defy, I can push against gravity with my, like, you know. But then this moment, I love this, the way that they execute this moment where this woman who works at the Daily Planet is trapped and Lawrence Fishburne's trying to get her out, and like the desperation like of this moment and then the score from Hans Zimmer as you see his fist like come up through that and like him just push, you know, pushing through. I'm like, that to me is a great emotional culmination of the arc of him understanding who he is, what he's capable of, and what his purpose is here on earth.
Right.
And then
and I do love that. I wish it just, the whole city wasn't destroyed.
Totally.
I think you can do that, but
cause it's like, and then the movie goes on for like 40 more minutes and it's just sort of like, and I feel like we've already kind of done it. And I think you could, I get it that like Zod's still alive, but it's like maybe Zod escapes in the Kryptonian ship and we save that for another movie, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And we don't have to. Yeah. Well,
it would actually be kind of cool to have Superman, like you can have some destruction. I mean, obviously even in this new Superman, I mean, there's the city starts splitting apart. But like in Man of Steel, you could have Superman try to discover, like, I still have to save other people while I'm fighting Zod. So like if the ship is going down, why doesn't he try to avoid, and he just hits the top of a few buildings, right? And like there's some destruction, but he's like, he's figuring out that, okay, I have to do all these things of saving people and fighting Zod, which would be very cool. But again,
he doesn't care at all about saving people while he's fighting Zod. He doesn't
He lets a lot of people die. And
like,
I mean,
it doesn't even seem like his focus ever even like that he ever even acknowledges like, oh crap, there might be people in those buildings that I'm throwing him, you know.
That's a big detriment to Batman v Superman, because you see them course correcting, because it's like, oh, there was so much destruction. Like, and I think again, this is Zack Snyder just being like, well, I just want to focus on the action because I think that's so cool. Which, yes, it is cool, but it's also like, that's a ton. That is like billions of dollars worth of destruction and thousands of human lives.
Thousands of human lives. And it's like, I don't know. Like, you, like when you show like Doomsday in the next movie and like what the explosions that he creates, it's just sort of hard to not be like, I don't know, how did that not kill 20,000 people immediately?
Yeah.
Like, how did that, it just seemed, and then also it's like, and then a being that's that powerful, I don't see how, like, you just kind of set up these stakes that it starts to be, and again, it's like a movie, these movies take themselves so seriously, they have such a serious tone, and when the gravity beam is hitting and we're watching people get flattened by it, it's, you know, it's like, we really feel the weight of what's happening and the actual stakes of, like, this is what it would really be like in real life if beings that were this powerful fought in one of our cities. They would act, it would be, you know, and it's like, I think that, like, a movie like The Avengers, where they're having their big final showdown in New York City, and we know it's New York City, and we know there's probably a lot of collateral damage because of the tone of the film, because the tone isn't taking itself as seriously, we kind of are willing to, like, go on the ride and be like, it's all right. The Avengers are gonna, like, they're having fun. They're, you know, and if the Avengers took itself really, really, really seriously, I think it would be a harder finale to enjoy because it'd be like, it would be like, I don't know, they're not saving a lot of people. Like, a lot of people are dying here. So
that's a little too much. I do like this. So Michael Shannon is amazing. And I love how much emotion he gives to the character. Like, when he yells, you know, I will find him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a great, like, he really gives a lot of emotion. I really like the ending of Superman killing Zod.
I like that. Yeah.
I find that very justified. And I like the explanation of, like, listen, this is, Superman doesn't kill people, but he was forced into a situation. And this is what helps him to realize, like, I'm never going to kill again, right? Like, that's kind of like such an emotional moment for him. I appreciate it for this movie. It does not bother me, and it sounds like you like it too. Is that right?
I do. But again, like, Zack Snyder's characters don't seem to have this moral code that, like, the traditional character, because like the first thing we see Superman do in Batman vs Superman is kill a guy. Like, I love that whole sequence. That whole sequence is like, he's like, I didn't kill those people. It's like, we killed the guy that was holding Lois Lane. Like, I don't know how you didn't kill him if he's not dead. You flew him through like 20 concrete walls. Like, he's dead.
Like, he's gone. He's not making it.
He's just a human being. He's dead. Like, he is 100% dead. But like, I don't know. I do. It's like, every time I watch Man of Steel, the movie, I'm going like, most of this works. The tone, the cinematography, the performances by the characters. And then we get into the end and it just sort of all feels like, man, the tone that you've set up was so grounded and so serious that, like, this all just feels like, and again, it's like what they're trying to do is be like, what if the real life mythology came, happened in the real world, and they try to explore that further in the next film. Like, that's sort of Lex's whole thing is like the devils and the gods and all this stuff. And again, it's like, I think the screenplay goes overboard with that, with Lex. But it's like, I think this is mostly a movie I enjoy on a rewatch. Should we do scores for Man of Steel and then we can get into Batman vs Superman?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Okay, so what's your technical rating for Man of Steel?
My technical rating, maybe this is, well, my technical rating is a 7. I think there's a lot of really good stuff here. I think it's a really good start for a film franchise. I mean, we know where it ends up, but, you know, the cinematography I really enjoy. There's some really interesting takes. You know, Kevin Costner does a great job acting. Diane Lane does a great job.
Kevin Costner and Nathan Lane is Ma Kent.
Nathan Lane would be a very interesting.
He actually would kill him.
I would like to. He would. That's the thing.
Nathan Lane in drag as Ma Kent would be amazing.
It'd be like the Birdcage again. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah.
I would love to see him in that, but I like Diane Lane. I like her little relationship with him. So there's a lot of really good stuff in there. And it is a very interesting story, interesting take, a more serious take on Superman. So 7.
Yeah. I gave it a 7.5. I feel like this movie has had a lot of promise. Again, it's a take on the character. It's not the character. And I think the issue with this entire DCEU is I actually think that it is hard to build an entire cinematic universe off of like kind of an offshoot take on a character. You know, it's like, like the Nolanverse for the Dark Knight trilogy is not a universe where the Flash could exist, you know? And it's sort of like you can do a trilogy of Batman movies in that style, but you can't really have like Mr. Freeze show up, you know? Even like, like there's certain elements of like heightened stuff, even in the Batman universe where it's like, you can't have the Justice League. You can't have like Martian Manhunter. You can't have, you know, it's like in order to do that stuff, you've got to sort of leave that grounded feel and you've got to elevate it a little bit more and let it feel a little bit more like a comic book universe. And I think that's sort of the foundational problem with all of this. And again, I think Man of Steel still could, because Superman is the character, it's already saying there are characters that can do this stuff in this world. So the buy-in is like, okay, all right. I do think that like the movie's interesting enough and fun enough and exciting enough that if the movie had ended like 15 or 20 minutes after he destroys the world engine and they wrapped it up quicker and they didn't do this big, crazy, long, protracted fight with him and Zod where they're destroying all of Metropolis. I also think that like the love story between him and Lois Lane is kind of unearned and rushed. It's like in the screenplay, it doesn't do anything to earn it. I have a hard time in this universe figuring out how nobody recognizes that Clark Kent is Superman. It's one of those things where I'm like, okay. Like at least James Gunn's movie addresses that. So, it's like, there's enough good stuff going on with the cast, with the design, with the imagery, with the cinematography that for me, it's a 7.5. What about the ending for you?
The ending I gave a 6.5. Now I really do like the killing of Zod. I think it works for me. And it feels emotionally right for the movie, but the destruction and how long it goes on for is just too much. So I'm docking it points for that. But overall, it's, you know, it's a satisfying ending for the most part. So,
yeah, I give it a 6. You know, everything, I think of the ending as like everything after he destroys the gravity beam with like, or the world. Like that's like everything after that is like when the movie starts to kind of spiral out for me. And every time I watch it, I'm like, man, I wish that this was a little more contained or a little, or I like what you're talking about. Like, the, like I saw Superman, like try a little harder to prevent damage or, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, and I've always kind of given him a pass in the movie to be like, he's, this is the first thing he's ever done as Superman. And so I'm like, I get it. It's his first time out, but you know, it, it doesn't seem like he even really has learned his lesson or cares in the next movie. So it doesn't seem like there's like an evolution there to the character.
That's a big, that's a big problem with Batman versus Superman. Right. We'll get into, but
we'll get into
dead on with that.
So rewatchability.
Rewatchability on this is I put it at a 7. I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff in this movie, you know, like, like we've been talking about. It's there's definitely has its faults, but there's a, it's a lot of really fun stuff and a lot of good, you know, the music is good. The action is cool. So it is a fun rewatch. It's not, I'm not going to be bored by it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I put it at a 7 as well. Like it mostly hits for me when I revisit. Like we've now watched the Donner movie, the James Gunn movie, this one. This one, I've been watching this movie for, you know, on and off for 10 years now. And it's still like mostly, I like what they're doing. But I kind of recognize after watching the James Gunn movie, I'm like, you know, there's just things about this version of Clark that are like not, and it's intentional, but it's like even like the corniness of Superman. It's like the way David Corenswet's corniness is very much like comic book Superman, you know, saying like golly and oh my gosh, and you know, gosh darn it, and things like that. And I think that Cavill's corniness comes from Cavill just feels like an outsider. He just feels like a person who doesn't feel like he belongs, and he feels confused about who he is. And we never really see him figure that out. He just sort of feels like a kind of like a sad guy who struggles to understand himself.
Yeah.
And the movie, you know, they never really get to a point with his character where it feels like he becomes the more traditional Superman.
I agree.
And it's kind of like, you know, like my issues with like Todd Phillips' Joker, which the reason why I liked Joker Folie à Deux was that it was like my problem with the first Joker movie was I never felt like Arthur Fleck actually metamorphized into Joker. It always just still felt like this other guy that was like pretending to be Joker. And then when they said that in the second movie, I was like, okay, that sort of fixes that problem for me.
Yeah,
but then it's still like, why make these movies then?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's okay to have this movie where he starts off and he's not the traditional version that we remember. But then I think you need to see him like get there, you know? Like,
yeah.
In the Dark Knight trilogy, I really do think that there is an evolution from who he is in Batman Begins to who he is in The Dark Knight, you know, and how he operates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Cultural significance of Man of Steel.
Okay. Cultural significance. I did a 7.5. I think this movie has had a big impact for better or for worse. You know, like it. I think this movie started out and made a lot of people excited. And I still think we're feeling the impact of this movie in many ways. I mean, the James Gunn Superman movies are kind of going the opposite direction, which is a big influence that this movie has had. So I think it has a big influence, and I think it's had a pretty big influence on superhero movies in general and Superman himself. So.
Yeah, I agree. I gave it a 7. It's got the staying power. I think the reason why fans of the Snyderverse are still so like rabidly devoted to it is because of this movie.
Yeah.
Like this movie had all of the promise of what this extended universe could have been. And you see elements of what worked in this movie, in the others. You see them in Zack Snyder's Justice League. You see them in Batman vs. Superman. Elements. Like there's imagery and ideas, but the execution is probably done best here. And I think that you make a good point that it's probably because it was sort of under the direction of Christopher Nolan, who's just a better filmmaker than Zack Snyder is ultimately. Yeah. Now, what about your subjective score?
I put it at a 6.5. But I'm wondering if I should do a 7, but it's also kind of like, there's so many things that I really like about it. And then other things that I'm like, oh, that just really is not that great. Or I wish you could have not had that much destruction. I wish you could have had these little things. So I'm going to put it at a 6.5, but it's a very generous 6.5 that maybe should be a 7. I don't know.
Yeah. I gave it a 7 as well. I still, you know, I got a soft spot for this movie.
This
was for me in 2013 when this came out. I felt like I'd been waiting to see a version of Superman like this my entire life in a movie. Like I'd seen, like I'd always wondered what it would feel like to see a big screen cinematic rendition of the character that has all of the tools of modern movie making at the, you know, like that they can really like throw everything at it. And I remember just being like, thinking it was such a fun ride to watch him sonic booming, you know, as he flies and stuff. I still get a kick out of watching it. I still really like, the scenes between him and Costner. And I like, you know, but there's things too, that I'm just like, Pa Kent's death always bothers me. It's just sort of a thing where I'm like, I just think there's
too much.
Again, it's like, the movie just is like too big. I'm like, have it be a heart attack or something.
I know.
Like,
yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Or like
something that he couldn't save him from or something.
Yeah. Cancer, you know? Something. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. That's it. Let's go into Batman vs. Superman. The ultimate edition.
Yes.
The ultimate edition. We watched the extended edition. I do believe that this version, it's actually crazy how much more narrative sense this version makes than if you watch the theatrical version.
Right.
They cut out so much stuff that just like explains aspects of Lex Luthor's incredibly convoluted plan. But it's like, if you don't have the context of knowing what he's doing, when you watch the theatrical version, it's like, there's no way to know that Lex was, that he put a bomb in that guy's wheelchair. There's no way to know that he was the one sending the, like, it's like there's all all of these things that, because the whole movie is like, everything that happens in the movie is Lex moving pieces around and being the puppeteer, which again, I think is like too much.
It is.
In the screenplay, it's like he's behind too much of it.
Oh, like yeah, he is.
And yeah.
Yeah. And the dumb thing is like, okay, you probably could have, there's a happy medium in here where you still make this movie a little bit longer, but you can have everything. The things that he decides to cut out of the theatrical version don't really make sense. Like, well, why'd you cut this out, but not that out? Or like, I mean, just the whole thing is convoluted is a very good word, because the movie itself is just completely convoluted.
Let's talk about what we like first.
Let's do it.
Let's do that. What works in this movie for you?
So here's the, I'm just going to kind of list a few of the things. Yeah. Music is awesome. As we talked about the Wonder Woman theme, I just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I do really like Ben Affleck. Yeah. I was not too happy, but I was like, oh, we'll see how he does. He is huge.
Oh,
now I still love Christian Bale. I think he's a better Batman, but just this version of Ben Affleck as Batman is awesome. I really, really like his suit. I don't love the symbol, but I love the suit, and he just looks extremely imposing.
Yeah.
So I really like that. I really like how Superman is always protecting Lois. I really love Gal Gadot. I think she did a really great job, especially after this movie. I think she's a really interesting Wonder Woman. There's like this horse imagery in the movie that I was always like, why is there like all this horse stuff going on? And this time that I watched it, when Kevin Costner's talking, I kind of got the symbolism of like, he was digging a ditch to save his land, but in doing so he killed the neighbor's horses. So sometimes when you're doing what you think is right, there are some casualties, right? And it plays into this whole theme, and I was like, oh, that's a really cool, like, you know, Batman is running into the city and there's this horse that's walking by, and then after the explosion in the Capitol, there's a horse that's walking by. I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool, like I finally understood what that the point of that was. But let's see. I kind of like, I mean, the Batman fight at the end is one of the coolest Batman fights that there is. It's not the coolest.
It's not
the coolest, because Batman taking out an entire SWAT team and saving all these people in the Dark Knight is the coolest Batman fight scene, just because of the emotional and the stakes that are involved with it. Now,
I also really like Robert Pattinson walking into that nightclub.
Oh, that's awesome. Batman, yeah, that was just, cool too.
That's so great. Yeah.
He's got some great stuff too.
Yeah.
But the fact of the tension that is involved with that, and the filmmaking themes and everything that go into that fight scene of Batman taking out a SWAT team is a lot better than this one. But the choreography, Nolan has a problem with fight choreography. It's not as fast and as cool, but Zack Snyder knows how to, this is one of the coolest Batman fight scenes.
Oh yeah.
Choreography for sure. Love it. I loved it. So those are some of the things I love.
The imagery, like, again, like a lot of the things that work for Man of Steel still work here. There's great imagery. Like there is some stuff in here, like the exploring the philosophy of what Superman means to this world. I like this montage that they do. That's all of these different people talking about Superman on different news shows, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
And like all, you know, like actual like figures in our world talking about the arrival of Superman.
Yeah.
And this montage that they do where like these people, you know, their town is flooded, and the image of him like showing up to save them and stuff, like there's just like some gorgeous imagery.
Oh, absolutely.
Superman like dragging this oil tanker like out of the ice in Antarctica. Like they just have some, or Superman, you know, this rocket blows up and he catches the fuselage that's containing all the astronauts and like lands it and like brings it down. They just have some amazingly cool images in this movie. Superman saving the people from the fire at the Dia de los Muertos event, and all of the people reaching out to touch him, and like him, and like the production design's really cool. I like that in Metropolis they have this like memorial to him and the memorial to all of the people who died. Once again, this movie, just like Man of Steel, gets off to a really strong start. I think beginning with watching the end of Man of Steel, but from Bruce Wayne's perspective,
yeah,
is a really cool way to kind of pay off the feeling. Like at the end of Man of Steel, when you're that feeling that you have of like, man, they just killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
You get to watch that. And it's very satisfying to have Batman look at that and feel the same way that we felt and be like, this is not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, these movies are very, they take themselves very seriously.
Yeah.
And again, there are aspects of David Goyer's writing that I like, but this, in this script, he takes himself so seriously, and it starts like right off the bat, like this narration from Batman. And this is, that'll be my things. I don't like, I'm not there yet. Design still works for me. I love Ben Affleck, just the look of this Batman. I like his Batmobile.
It's awesome.
Like his Batjet. I like Gal Gadot, you know, like this is the first time we see her as Wonder Woman. And like, there's just cool, like the shot of the three of them like standing together when they're gonna fight Doomsday.
Very cool.
Like, that's awesome. That's iconic. That's the big three. There they are. Mm-hmm. And you know, it felt like I like this version of Batman, a guy who's been doing it for 20 years. I love our first introduction to him, that it feels like a horror movie. Like even the people that he saved are like scared of him. They're like, it's still upstairs. It saved us, but we don't want to come out till it leaves, you know?
Yeah.
And I love this image of him like in the corner, you know, of this wall that he just looks like a monster or something.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And I don't hate Jesse Eisenberg the way that some people do. I get what they were going for. I think
yes,
that it's like they're trying, it's the same thing that I think James Gunn's trying to do, but I just think he does it more successfully with Nicholas Holt,
absolutely,
which is like the kind of insecure incel billionaire tech guy who doesn't have any friends. Everybody that he's friends with is paid to be friends with him. Every woman that's ever slept with him was someone who was like, probably didn't actually like him.
Yeah.
And he's never had like a genuine relationship in his entire life. And I kind of like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get what they're going for with Jesse Eisenberg. I get what he's doing. He is very much an opposite of Superman.
Yeah.
But they made him too much of an opposite, where he's like extremely insecure and he's also very frail.
Yeah, and it's just too much.
It's just too much.
The idiosyncrasies of his like persona, it's just it's a lot.
I appreciate what Jesse Eisenberg is trying to do as an actor, and I get it. Like, it's very interesting. You're making this like him very insecure, and he's like, he's very worried about how he appears, like all that, but it just doesn't work for me. So I like Jesse Eisenberg as an actor. I think he's a really good actor. It just didn't fit for the character of Lex Luthor, which Nicholas Holt, I feel like, plays him much better, because he's still physically imposing in some ways.
Yeah.
But he's also emotionally imposing. Nicholas Holt is very emotionally imposing, and he's forcing his will on other people. Whereas Jesse Eisenberg seems like he would be much more reserved and kind of kept to himself. But so the character doesn't work that great. But I appreciate what he is doing, even though it really falls flat for me.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's kind of it that I like about this movie, is like there are a few cool action sequences, and there's some good imagery and cinematography. Yeah. And there's some like ideas that start out really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I honestly, like, the movie's 3 hours long, the Ultimate Edition. And I would even say, like, up to the first hour and a half, I enjoy watching. Like, I'm with it. I'm going along for the ride.
Yeah.
You know, I like this, like, this scene that Jesse Eisenberg has with Holly Hunter, where he's like, that painting should be upside down. We now know that devils come from the sky, not from underneath us. And I think that, you know, I enjoy a lot of what the, you know, like that, the conversation between Alfred and Batman, where he's like talking about how we're criminals and we've always been criminals.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing's changed. And Alfred's like, everything's changed. Men are falling from the sky and they're, you know, like everything's different now.
Yeah.
And I like Batman's motivation, that he's like, before I was putting away petty criminals, you know, guys who were robbing banks and stuff. We're talking about the future of the human, like, this is like the culmination of everything I've been working for.
Yeah.
And this is where this movie really falls apart at a writing level, is you've got enough. Like, as the second movie in your, it's where the entire DCEU starts to fall apart, is this movie tries to world build everything. It tries to lay the seeds for the Justice League. It tries to build in Mother Boxes and the future of Steppenwolf and Darkseid. It does this flash forward sequence that it does never works. It's just so clumsily done. It's just this thing where the Flash comes through the time vortex. It is just, it's
really
so
dumb.
It's so messily stitched into the fabric of this movie, and it's like, you've got enough. Like, it is a story about Batman seeing the clear threat that is posed by these gods fighting in the sky and deciding he needs to do whatever he can to stop them. And Lex Luthor knowing this and going like, I'm going to bait Batman into finding this kryptonite rock that I'm importing. I'm going to make him think that there's a dry bomb being imported into town, and I'm going to bait him into stealing it. And then I'm going to like sort of nudge these two into a fight with each other and hope that Batman kills Superman for me.
Yeah.
That right there to me is like, that's your movie. That's it. You know, like, maybe you can have Wonder Woman come in at the end. Like,
yeah.
But because it's like, even like the fact that Lex's fail safe is like, well, if Batman fails, then I'll just create Doomsday. It's like, I've always been like, what's your plan after that? If Doomsday kills Superman, what next, dude?
Yeah.
Who's going to kill Doomsday? Like,
well, and what if Doomsday wakes up before Superman gets to you? It was going to kill you. Like,
right. I've always just been like, what was your plan here? Like, if he kills Superman, he's going to destroy the entire world. Like, it just, I feel like, again, maybe you end Man of Steel with Zod escaping, you know, and leaving, and maybe Zod comes back with Doomsday in the third act. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you want to bring in Wonder Woman for something, I don't even think she needs to be in this movie, but I enjoy watching the three of them kind of work together and build like that foundation. But I think the movie has enough going on just exploring like this conflict between Batman and Superman. Yeah.
Well, and I think that is what it should be about. Just Batman and Superman, you know, completely opposed in how they should be doing things. I think one of the big problems that this movie has is that they center it around Lex's plan, and it shouldn't be. Like, also, Batman and Superman should have way more interactions.
Yeah.
The first time that they talk is like halfway through. It's not even halfway through the movie, but
it's like an hour, 45 minutes.
Like, yeah. He runs into his car, right? And first of all, I mean, there's so many things that bother me about this movie, but like, how does Clark Kent not know who Batman is? Like, how does Superman not know who Batman is? And then just immediately he hates him. Like, okay, Superman.
It's been 18 months.
Yeah,
and no one's ever told. Like, Batman's been Batman for 20 years.
20 years, and he lives across the bay.
And no one's ever told Clark Kent about Batman. Like, he's never heard about him.
Dumb.
He's never heard about the Joker or Robin or any, which this movie implies all that stuff exists. It implies all that history.
Yeah.
And again, like, there's so many things that David Goyer writes into this movie that he thinks he's being like so clever. And they're kind of fun lines where he's like, you know, we got a bad history with freaks dressed like clowns.
Yeah.
And like, I like all this stuff, but I'm like, this scene should be happening where we know they both know who each other are.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
a much more interesting scene if Clark Kent knows that he's talking to Batman and if Bruce Wayne knows that he's talking to Superman, but they're at a party. So they have to like, but the fact that like they apparently don't know who each other, I'm like, it's a better scene if they know who the other is.
Oh yeah. It's really, so the first scene that they see each other, Batman and Superman, first scene that they see each other, he hits him with his car. And then he's like, this is after like an hour of knowing who Batman is, you know, or whatever, like a day or two, maybe it's longer than that, but he's like, he rips off his windshield or whatever. And he's like, you know, the Batman's dead. bury it, you know? And then he's like, hey, do you bleed? And then Superman flies away. He's like, you will. And I was like, that's their first interaction, is that they hate each other.
Yep.
Like, and this happens
an hour
into the movie.
Like Superman hates him so much. That scene where that woman goes, well, he doesn't answer to anybody. The only way you stop a guy like that is with a fist. And I'm like, you know how many people have tried to stop Batman with a fist in the last 20 years? Yeah. And you're just telling a random guy on the street, like, someone's got to punch him. It's like, you don't think anyone's ever tried to punch Batman in 20 years? Like, what? Yeah, so that's true. That's the line, is the only way to stop a man like that is with a fist. It's like, well, yeah, Superman's fist, but that woman doesn't know she's talking to Superman. Yeah. She thinks she's talking to a random reporter from the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
And also it's like, no, you can't fight Batman. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of the whole thing. It's like, he will destroy you in a fight.
So, you know, the movie itself, just like, you need to have these characters interact a whole lot more. Like, I can see Superman coming to Batman and be like, hey, you know, maybe we should work together, something, right? Coming to Batman, and then Batman being extremely opposed to him, right? Like, but they need to have more interactions. They need to have stuff that they're doing that they completely disagree on, right? And I mean, it just that, but that's a completely different movie. But,
well, it's like, I think the fact that they decide to make this a version of Bruce Wayne, again, it's a take on the character. It's definitely in line with kind of the traditional, that it's a take on the character that is, it's old and grizzled, and he's angry and cynical, and he's like hardened, and he's long since ditched his no killing rule. Like, he doesn't, like, this Batman,
which I hate,
he's just lighting people up, and he just
is straight up murdering a lot of people.
But again, this could be a thing where like, and it's part of, like, they sort of talk about this, like Clark Kent talks to Lawrence Fishburne about how this bat is going around being judge, jury, and executioner, and it's not right. But let's have him have that conversation with Batman.
Yeah.
And then have Batman be like, you're judging me for killing people? Do you know how many people you killed? And, you know, like, have them. So, like, they talk about each other to other people. Like, Batman talks about Superman to Alfred, and Clark talks about Batman to Perry White. But I'm like, have them talk to each other. Have them, like,
please, like, interact. You know,
yeah.
But, I mean, if this is the, okay, this is the thing that I hate, that Batman kills people, because, I mean, that is his whole character. And again, like, okay, this is a take on the character, but if Batman does not kill people, he could teach that to Superman in this movie. Like, you know, you're doing so many things that are wrong. He's like, you want to talk about wrong? I have one rule where I don't kill people. How many people did you kill when you were fighting Zod in Metropolis? Yeah. Right? Like that could be something that, because like, they both kill people.
Right.
So what's the point?
Like, right.
It could add a layer of why Batman doesn't like Superman, because he doesn't seem to have these morals, that Batman is extremely strict on his morals.
Yeah.
Like, he is very strict on that. And that could be a reason why he doesn't like Superman, because he doesn't feel like he maybe has those morals. Right. Which he could learn to find later. He could find out that he does, but it's just a complete, you have two characters that aren't acting like their characters. So like, they're mad at each other for reasons that are kind of, that could have been more deep, right?
Well, so, and again, it's like, we get these cool set pieces, like the Batman saving Martha,
right,
fight scene, or just the Batman versus Superman fight, which, like, if you take that fight and you cut it out of the movie and you just watch the fight between Batman and Superman in the movie, it's pretty fun. Pretty cool little action set piece, and it's pretty fun, and I like how, like, brutal it is. I like how, like brutal Batman is with Superman whenever he hits him with the kryptonite stuff. But in the context of the movie, it's just the writing is bad.
Well, and this is also written by Chris Terrio. David S. Goyer and Chris Terrio. So it's not all David Goyer, but yeah, it is.
But this thing where like to motivate the fight, finally, at which it happens at like the beginning of the third act of this movie.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor kidnaps Martha Kent and then tells Superman, and Superman, like, and what's so stupid, again, like, the writing is so crazy, because it's like, literally, he just went, the way I'm going to get Superman here so I can threaten him is I'm going to push his girlfriend off this building.
Yeah.
I know that Superman, wherever he is in the world, he'll travel straight to her and he'll save her. He does. He flies in, he saves her. But it's like, so you're telling me that Superman could have been in like Africa and he can, and we know that Superman's fast enough. He can fly to Metropolis that fast and catch Lois. But then 2 seconds later, he's like, I have your mom. And he's like, where is she? It's like, just go find her. It's like, dude, like, like you can go find your mom easily. Like go fly up into the air and just listen and be like, oh, there she is.
Oh, there's like there was a how it should have ended. And it was that exact thing where he's like, you know, Lex Luthor's like, oh, even you with all your speed and power couldn't find your mom in this amount of time. And he's like, wait, what did you say? He's like, I said, even with you with all your speed and power, couldn't find your mom. And then he like, he's gone for 1 second and he brings his mom back. He's like, wait, is this my mom? I had to circle around the city a bunch of times, but I think I found her. Is this her? And he's like, oh yeah, it is. Anyway, that is, that's what he would do. That's what Superman could do.
But it's crazy that the movie does this right after he flew from wherever. Like, we have no idea how far away he was, and he flew and caught Lois Lane. So we know, like, it doesn't matter where he is in the world. He can be instantaneously there for the people he loves the most. And, like, we know this guy has, like, memorized the sound of his mom's heartbeat. Like, he knows what, like, his, like, you know, like, we know these details about him. And immediately he's just like, where's my mom? And he's like, the only way to get her is if you go kill Batman. And it's like, no, like I just movie. And again, it's like, I just think this is where the writing is. It's bad. It's not like flawed. It's bad. It's like, it's like, obviously the movie needs to justify getting Superman and Batman into that fight. That's why we bought tickets. We all want to watch these two duke it out.
Right.
We just need better writing to get them there.
I think the thing that would also, again, going into the not killing, Batman not killing, if Batman were to have decided, listen, I don't kill anybody, but I have to kill Superman, that would also make it very interesting. Mm-hmm. We don't need Lex to do this. Like, listen, I need to lure Superman here so that I can kill him. And again, this goes into his moral dilemma of not killing, but like the whole world could be at stake. And this is where I have to make my exception. That would make it way more interesting to me.
So much that, like, for him, it's a moral conflict that he's like, I got, like, and like, if we see throughout the whole movie, them trying to understand each other and try, but like, it's like two people who should be allies, but they just have this, like, this value difference or this like strategy difference that they're talking past each other and they're just not hearing each other. And I think the ultimate fight is like Batman, maybe like he said, he goes, the Waynes were hunters. So if he like entraps Superman in a situation and Superman basically just like doesn't want to be there. Like once he shows up, he's like, oh dude, I'm not doing this. Like, but then as he keeps trying to walk away, Batman just keeps hitting him with different things and finally pisses him off. And Superman's like, listen, man. And it's kind of like, this is sort of what happens in the fight is Superman's trying not to fight him, but then Batman makes him mad enough that he comes up to him. And I do love this. Like when he puts his hand on his chest and just goes, and you know, and then like when he tells him like, stay down, like if I wanted it, you'd be dead already. All of this works. The problem with it is it's this, I hate when screenplays have a character who needs to say something to another character and they just keep going, listen to me. I have to tell you something. And they keep getting interrupted and they keep going, no, I have to tell you something really important. And it's like, just spit it out. Just say it.
Please.
Like, just like break the two things and be like, Lex Luthor is pitting us against each other because he wants you to kill me and he wants me to kill you. Like, just say it. If that's what the screenplay is, but the fact that Superman of all people is like, ah, Bruce, no, listen. Lex is and it all culminates in like genuinely the worst writing imaginable. It is like anybody who tries to defend this writing, listen, it's okay. It can work that in the climax of the fight, Bruce Wayne realizes that beneath the persona of Superman is Clark Kent and that Clark Kent has human parents just like him.
Yes.
And that there is humanity there. That's fine. But it is so incomprehensibly terrible to have the line be, you're letting them kill Martha. What? Why would he
say that name?
Absolutely. And like, that's the question. Like, why did you say such a weird sentence? Why is save Martha?
Yeah.
What? You would say you're letting them kill my mom.
Yeah.
They're going to kill my mom.
Yeah.
Like it like, doesn't like it's,
it really, so there, Diane Lane, I'd have to find the quote, but she said something that I liked. She said like, well, when he says Martha, like it makes Batman realize that, oh, he does have parents and he does all that. And I'm like, listen, I like that idea. Like you said, I think it could work. Like they're going to kill my mom. But in order to do that, you have to have set it up right before he does this. He says, I bet your parents taught you this and this and this. And my parents taught me this, this, and this. So it's like Batman believes he has parents. Like he believes, like, so this payoff has just no setup. Like, if you want this payoff to work where he sees Clark as a human that had parents, you need to first make him hate him as an alien and try to dehumanize him as an alien. So Batman needs to always say like, I bet he doesn't have parents. He's just an alien. He's here. He doesn't have any conscience like we do as humans. You need to set that up. That was not set up. So even though I like what Diane Lane said in the movie, it does not work because it was not set up. If they would have done that, it would have been better.
You know, the way better version of this movie is Captain America Civil War. Like it's the movie where it's like, we know from the outset that this movie is going to be our heroes fighting each other.
Yeah.
Like the big marquee thing on the trailer is Captain America has a team and Iron Man has a team and they're going to fight each other in this movie. And so the whole screenplay has to be structured around how are we going to get them to fight each other? And we've got to build in the fact that they're having an ethical problem where they're disagreeing on, they're people who are on the same side of things, but they're disagreeing over the morals and the ethics of how they should go about being metahumans in the world that they exist in.
Right.
And that disagreement leads to them feuding to the point where it's like, well, now we're going to do what we do and it's going to be winner take all in a fight.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. And then we actually get to this final fight and the much better version of you're letting them kill Martha is when Cap says to Tony Stark, Tony, it wasn't him. He was brainwashed. And Tony just goes, I don't care. He killed my mom.
Right.
And that's such a better line. It's just such a better line for him to just go. And like, as an audience member, you just go, I get it. That he's just like, I don't care, man. He killed my mom.
Yep.
And it's just like, that's a better line than
it is. They're killing Martha.
Thank
goodness their moms had the same name. What if he said, you're killing Karen? What would he say? What would Batman do?
Exactly. Imagine Superman's mom's name is Dolores. And he just goes, you're letting them kill Dolores. And then Bruce Wayne just like, I don't know who that is. And just stabs him right in the face, just stabs him in the brain with a, you know, just
with a,
and then yes, Amy Adams runs up and she's like, Dolores is his mom. And he's like, oh, I don't care.
Okay. I did what I was supposed to.
I don't care. Like my mom's name is Martha. So if his mom had been, you know, and it's like
if her name was Martha, I would have stopped.
Way that this completely just, like you said, the screenplay already showed that he knows he has parents.
Yeah,
you know, and I just think that like it's gotta be like earlier in their fight, Bruce Wayne is saying things like, "You're not brave. Men are brave." Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I like lines like that. Yeah. I think that's cool when he's like, when he's just like, "You're not brave. Like you're powerful." And he's like, "But if I take that power away." He's like, you got nothing, you know, like I'm brave. Like the fact that I'm standing here toe to toe with you. And again, the movie doesn't earn this well enough. Like you said, they need to interact more. They need to beef more. But like having it be like, it's all Lex Luthor. It's all Lex pulling these strings. It's all Lex, you know, pushing them over the edge. I think Bruce from the get go has enough motivation. Don't even think this movie needs, I actually don't think this movie needs an outside villain. I think what's interesting about this film is the idea of like them being each other's villains in the movie.
Yes.
You know,
I totally agree. I don't think it needs a villain. I think it actually might have been more interesting if Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne know each other, mm-hmm. because they're tech guys. They'd probably interact. And Lex Luthor is just kind of whispering in Bruce Wayne's ear, like, but because they would probably they would hate Superman.
Yeah,
the same. And if he's kind of almost pulling the strings just a little bit that way, it might make it interesting to have Lex Luthor in the movie. And, but he's not, he doesn't have to have this huge elaborate plan, because at the end of this movie, he could be like, what? I just didn't like him. And you took it that far. Right. So like that, you could have Lex Luthor in the movie as that, like a thin layer that's kind of pulling strings a little bit, but you know, and this plan doesn't work. But so then he starts getting crazy and crazier down the line. But
I like one of my biggest issues with Civil War is I feel like Zemo's ultimate plan is too convoluted.
It is.
And so like having that outside guy who's like, I'm going to manipulate things so that Captain America and the Winter Soldier and Iron Man all show up at this place at the same time and they watch this videotape and they fight. It's like a little too convenient. And again, it's like, I like Zemo as a character in that movie. I think it's interesting that he's a survivor of Sokovia and he's got this like, kind of vendetta against the Avengers, but I also don't think that the movie needs him. I think that like the conflict is already there. I think there is a clear issue where Tony Stark is he starts to believe like, I think we need to be more accountable. I think we need to be, I think we need to take more response, you know, be more accountable. You know, and Cap's like, no, there's nobody more reliably responsible than us. Like we, and both of them have really interesting points. And I think that's the same kind of conflict that Batman and Superman have with each other is like, Batman's like, you can't be trusted, dude. I'm sorry. It's too much power for anyone to be trusted with. Because what happens, like you're a good guy today, but what happens if tomorrow you get pushed over the edge by something, you know, what, like I,
which like he has a good point.
Right. And then if Superman's more of a thing where he's like, listen, man, I do what I do because I'm invincible. You're out here like as like a guy causing all kinds of chaos. And I know you're trying to help, but like what you're doing is like you really got to step down. And I think there's just, and it's just your second movie and all this stuff, all the way that they try to bring in the whole Justice League. And then, and then of course killing Superman at the end of the movie, it's like jumping the shark two movies into this franchise. You're like, you're killing Superman at the end of this, of the second movie.
It Superman's really dead. Well, and sorry, go ahead.
But that, it's just like we've been saying, it's too much. It's just too much.
Yeah. Like I, as you said, like, I do like this older Batman, but I actually think this is a bad choice if you're setting up a cinematic universe, because Batman is already jaded. Like he could be around longer than Superman, but he shouldn't have been around for 20 years before Superman. Like,
yeah, maybe he just got started. Maybe he's on like year five and Superman's on year two.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like he can be established and even Clark Kent knows who he is, but like he shouldn't be this old, because like, if you're starting a cinematic universe, why would you have Batman be that old? Like you'd have to bring in another, you know, a new Batman pretty quickly to kind of make up for him getting that old. But
I think that like, if there was like you said, earlier interactions between the two of them where they're where Superman's like maybe trying to help him out, like maybe Batman's like dealing with something in Gotham and it's sort of getting out of his control. And then Superman just like shows up and just like grabs whoever he, like he's like fighting with guys and Superman just shows up and like kicks their car like into a building. Right, and he's like, and then he's just like, I had it.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. You looked like you were struggling with it. And he's like, he's like, I didn't ask you to come over here. Like, stay on your side. You know, like if it's like this thing where like they're aware of each other, but he's like, stay out of my way. Like, I liked I don't know if you noticed the little detail of like at the beginning when the Metropolis and Gotham football teams were playing each other.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And Metropolis is up like 58-0 at the end of the game. Yeah. And instead of taking a knee, they throw another touchdown pass to like pile it on. And it's sort of like the arrogance of like that's, but I'm like, if that's the story you want to set up, is that Superman is sort of like the much more powerful and much more, you know, do that in the movie. And again, a movie that doesn't take itself quite as seriously could have some fun with that. Could, you know, you could have Batman doing some things in, you know, and like, maybe we like just pick up with like Batman's in the middle of like a since we're in a heightened world, like he's in a fight with like Mr. Freeze or something, and Superman shows up to like bail him out, and he's like, hey dude, I didn't, you know, I'd really prefer it if you would, you know,
right
stay. I don't
and
know
this goes into something that I had to I always knew this, but this is something that I don't really like about these movies. Henry Cavill looks very much like Superman. He's not really a great actor.
Well, but again, like we said, they just don't.
They don't give him enough.
They don't give him enough. And his character doesn't change from Man of Steel to this movie.
No.
This people talk about like him being the brooding Superman and how he's always brooding. But this movie, like the script doesn't let him do anything. Like the script's just like, he just feels like even the scene when he saves all those people at Dia de los Muertos and they're all touching him. He just seems like so kind of confused about how he feels about being Superman.
Right.
And he just doesn't seem like he enjoys being Superman. It feels like a burden that he carries. And I think the difference is like David Corenswet's character, when we were introduced to him at the beginning of that movie, he's just lost his very first fight.
Yeah.
And he goes into this Fortress of Solitude, gets a little juiced up on some sun, and then he immediately flies back. And the first thing we see him do is like he does that little barrel roll through like a little like crevice in the ice.
Yeah,
and then he like smiles. He puts a little like smile on his face. And we see that like he enjoys being Superman. Like
he does.
He has fun doing what he's doing. And even though he knows like I just got my butt kicked by this guy, I'm going right back. And I'm just
right.
You know, and like I think the thing about Henry Cavill's character is like it's okay if in Man of Steel he's not sure of like who he is, if he's accepted by humanity's gonna accept him, but like by this movie, I think that he should be a little like, I think the thing that should bother Batman about him is that he's like, I think he should be a little really comfortable in the boot and in the cape. And maybe that kind of bugs Batman that he's like, man, the stupid, like, you know, like the things that bug Lex Luthor about Superman is he always talks about like, that get that smug smirk off your face.
Yeah,
like, why are you always smiling? Why are you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like Henry Cavill's character is just like a guy who like, he just doesn't seem like he wants to be there, you know?
Yeah, he really doesn't. And it really like, they need to give him personality. Like he doesn't have to be David Corenswet, but he can be kind and he can be positive, like always positive, but they just don't have that for him, and he just doesn't have enough to do. And it just doesn't work as a character overall. I think there's a lot of little things in this movie that don't work and that could have worked better. But I think the biggest thing overall is what we just talked about with the story, like the story itself just does not work. And well, there's no real fixing it as they tell it.
Well, and when we talk about the entire DCEU, like what Zack Snyder wanted to do is he was pushing for like an Injustice arc. He wanted there to be like this future where Superman becomes dark and evil and takes over the world with Darkseid. And they're trying to, the Justice League is trying to avoid that outcome. And so the Flash has traveled. So he was going to do that, this whole thing. And I'm like, that's interesting. But like, take your time with something like that. And that's kind of the problem with the Cavill character is that they wanted to plant the seeds of like the darkness inside of him.
Yeah.
And I think that it just doesn't give us time as the audience to like fall in love with him first.
Yeah.
Instead, we're just sort of like, why is he always just like so mad? And so, you know,
yeah.
And then the whole thing just feels kind of heavy and dark. And then also, the whole back, that's the second half of this movie just has a lot of straight up bad writing. Like bad dialogue, bad writing. I don't think he should die at the end of the movie. I think they jumped the shark with that.
Yeah.
I think this entire last fight scene is just sort of, again, it's like way too much. It's just, you know, and
it's clumsy. They make a point. This is where I see you can really see the course correction, because they make a point at least three times that everywhere they're fighting is uninhabited.
Yep.
Like, oh, you know, there's something going on downtown, but it's the end of the workday, so nobody's really there.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, they're at such and such island. It's uninhabited. And
Stryker's Island.
Yeah, Stryker's Island. And Batman's like, Wonder Woman's like, why'd you bring him out here? He's like, oh, this is uninhabited. I was like, really, guys? Like, okay. you still have a ton of destruction, but you're just making sure everyone knows there's nobody here. Yeah. Like, what about the, there's people there, but also like, who cares? Like, why did you make a point of that, that they really had to do it? But I don't, there's just a lot of the other thing that bothers me, this is a little thing, but Batman brands people and the people in prison kill those people. People in prison wouldn't kill for Batman.
Well, I think that what the movie suggests is that Lex is paying people in prison to kill people who are branded with Bat. So,
I got that too, but Lex also,
is
like,
yeah, but Lex, I think that the idea is he's trying to make it Superman upset about the Batman brands.
But why would Batman brand people in the first place?
Especially if he found out that they were getting killed on his behalf.
Yeah. After he would it. Not like, it makes no sense. And like, it just is dumb. The whole thing is dumb.
Yeah,
in many ways, it's really dumb.
I just think that it's kind of like a friend. Like, and then I think one thing that we didn't talk about is like all of the for this entire cinematic universe, all of the course correction that they were always doing in between films, and like how the fact that like they had pretty much shot Justice League kind of like right after they shot this, so they were already like on the way, and after this movie, Warner Brothers came in and, you know, just took an absolute buzzsaw to Justice League. That movie is just a straight up disaster. The movie that came out in theaters
it's horrible. Yeah. And this is the thing. Okay. This is, as we talked about, Christopher Nolan had a huge impact on Man of Steel. you can see it. You can see the difference between the two movies. One thing, this is a story that I heard, is that Zack Snyder went to Christopher Nolan and was like, hey, I want to end the movie and I want a box to show up at Wayne Manor that has the Wayne symbol on it. And when it's opened, you see kryptonite in it. It was something like that. Right. And Christopher Nolan was like, well, if you do that, you really have to commit to it. He's like, and it's just really hard to commit to something if you don't know where the story is going. And Christopher Nolan's always like, just focus on the movie that you're telling. Like, that's why he didn't want to set up a whole world. He just wanted to make one good movie. Mm-hmm. And so he told him, like, if you do that, you have to commit and know where it's going to go, because then you're stuck with it. Right. That's kind of the story that I heard. So you can see why, like, his influence on Man of Steel. In Batman v Superman, Zack Snyder just went buck wild.
Well, and the thing is, like, yeah, it's like he's making pieces of like six different movies.
Yes. And he says, he's like, if I could have, you know, we were going to do this, 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 and this. And I was like, dude, that is just way too much. And like, that's also just like, you're planning, you should make a series that's much less money that you can do all that in.
Well, even like, think about, again, James Gunn's Superman. It's like, there's a lot of characters in that movie, but the plot of the movie is still focused. It's just like, this is, we still are just following like, okay, Lex Luthor is doing this thing to try to get permission to kill Superman. That's the plot of the movie. Yeah. And there are all these, you know, like there's a world that we're dropped in the middle of, but we're not constantly getting like little seeds of like, in the next movie, this is going to happen. And this is going to be the bad guy next time. Yeah. We're not getting any of that. Like, we're staying focused on just the movie that we're watching. And Batman vs Superman is constantly like taking little detours to just do like little teasers for the next movie. Yeah. And it's like, it's just stuff where it's like, just get all that out of there. Get all that out of there. Yeah.
We didn't need the nightmare.
Nope.
Scene. We didn't need the flash. You take that out, you've got 10 minutes that you can, you know, however long that is that you get to keep, that you can put other stuff in that makes this movie make sense.
Yep.
As a theatrical version. 'Cause it doesn't make sense as a theatrical version. So anyway, there's just a lot of bad stuff in there.
Yeah. Okay. What's your technical score for Batman vs Superman?
It should probably, I'm going to do five, mainly because it just falls apart. Like, it's not, there's good things. The cinematography looks really good. The visual effects look really good. Some really cool fight scenes, but just the story is so convoluted and doesn't make sense. And the writing, as we've talked about, I just have to bring it down.
Yeah, I gave it a 6 just because, to me, it's like the imagery, the design, there's like enough ideas that are for the first half that I'm enjoying, and even some stuff in the back half that's really messy that's still like, it's like, but it's very frustrating. Like, the writing is poor. The editing is poor, and the construction is like, it's just messy, and it kind of collapses under its weight, and it all falls apart. And the cinematic universe kind of like is over before it even gets a chance to get off the ground. Cause even like Zack Snyder's Justice League, it's a better movie than what they released, but it's still not very good.
No.
It's, you know, and it's just too much is going on. The ending for what's your ending score?
My ending, I gave a 5. It just is kind of like we talked about, just, I mean, the whole thing is like, okay, you guys have your fight, which is cool, but that's not the ending.
No,
like, that's more, you know, that's definitely not the ending. And the darks or doomsday is just, I don't know. It just does not. Then they kill Superman and just set up too much stuff. So it's not as like satisfying when you end the movie.
Yeah.
Very satisfied with it.
I give the ending a 4. I think that everything from like it, again, I don't hate the idea of Batman finding out that, oh, we've got like moms that have the same name, and oh, you're like you were raised. The writing is so crazy, atrociously bad. And like to this day, it's something that like people make fun of so much because it's like, that is just a crazy way to write that. And then everything kind of just spirals out of control from there, and it really like takes a massive nosedive. And I really don't, it's like really annoying because there are pieces and ideas that are interesting. And I just feel like it's a lot of squandered stuff. Mm-hmm. Rewatchability for you.
Okay. I'm scoring this as a whole, this as a whole.
Yeah.
I give it a 4 because like, and this is the ultimate edition because it is so long. And it's just hard. It's like a slog to kind of get through. Like, it's not fun. It's not a fun movie that, like, there are pieces like the Batman fight I could watch a lot. That's really, really cool. And like there, the fight between Batman and Superman is really cool. But just to get through all that, it's not very fun. And there's not a lot of cool stuff in between those. So,
yeah, I gave it a 4 as well. And, you know, it's like that Batman fight is cool. I hate contextually where it is in the story. I hate that Batman is going, don't worry, I'll save your mom. He could do it immediately. Like, no, you need to go deal with Lex. I could do both. He could do both of them. Like, he could so easily. It's just so dumb. And then everything about the motivation, like the Batman versus Superman fight is cool, but the way that it gets motivated and the way it happens is so frustratingly poorly written.
It's just a
frustrating movie to watch, and there are pieces that I enjoy, but the pieces that I enjoy make the movie even that much more frustrating because I'm like, why isn't this better? You know, why isn't a movie with the like cinematography like this and imagery like this and production design like this and a really solid cast, why isn't this better?
Cultural impact I did a 6. It has had an impact. Again, I mean, because it influenced things, but I don't feel like it's as impactful as Man of Steel because, I mean, it's just kind of more universally seen as bad. I mean, I know people like this movie, but it's also just like it just is seen as kind of bad. So and even Justice League, like, I feel like that's more impactful than this movie just because it just kind of didn't work. And it isn't really seen as like taking, like, you see it as more of like what not to do, but it also is, it doesn't seem to have impacted as much as it thought it would.
Yeah, I gave it a 6 as well for the same reason where it's like, there's still, man, there's some diehards. There's some people that really go hard for this movie and then that feel like it mostly works. And it still is like a movie that people like, it's an interesting thing to look at and go, man, what fell apart here? What went wrong?
Yeah.
And it definitely still has like a reverberation. Yeah. Your subjective score.
My subjective score is a 5.5. Like there's some good, you know, I'm going to give it a 5 just because there's some good things, but overall, I mean, cinematography is good. Some fight scenes are really cool, but just overall, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't want to put it below 5 because it's not like a horror. It's not War of the Worlds, but, you know,
Yeah, I give it a, I do. I put it at a 4.5. For okay. me, I had to be honest, and I'm just like, after watching it last night, I was like, you know what? I used to like this movie a lot more, and really, like, I would like, I really, I, but it's just, I think it's because I wanted to like the movie so much. And watching it last night, I was like, this movie's like the writing in the back half of this movie is bad, and the construction of the film, it's just like, it's sloppy, and it is a frustrating film to watch, and I want to like it so much more than I do. So that's where I'm at right now.
I changed my score. You're right. It's a 4.5 for me too. It really is. Yeah. It's gonna be down. Yeah.
It's like the things that work about it aren't good enough to make me go like, I mostly enjoy it. It's like,
yeah,
no, like the bad, like some of the writing is like, that's terrible. That's, you
know, yeah. Yep.
Okay. So that's it. Let us know what you thought of that analysis. We've been really kind of getting into all these different iterations of Superman. Yeah. But we're going to look at something else next week. So if you want to watch along with us, we found out it's the 35th anniversary of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the motion picture, the one, the original, with the guys in the suits, not Secret of the Ooze, not the one where they go back and they do samurai stuff. The OG where they're fighting Shredder on the rooftop. We are watching
Casey Jones.
Casey Jones. We're watching that movie. So buckle in. Let's go back in time. Sam Rockwell's in that movie. I actually think that this movie is like kind of great, but I haven't watched it in a while, so we'll see.
We'll see what we think about it. I mean, I remember it as great, but I'm gonna kind of temper my expectations.
I might even see if I can go see it in theaters because they're doing like a Fathom events for the 35th anniversary.
Are we going to be able to see it, or is it after that?
I might have missed it. Might have missed it. Who knows?
Yeah, might.
Yeah, yeah, I think the... See. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun one to watch, though, for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it again. So that's what we're watching next week. Like, share, comment, subscribe, and we will see you next time. All right.